Avram Avinu has three parshios dedicated to his life. Lech Lecha, Vayera, Chayisara. Yaakov has six. Vayetze, Vayishlach, Vayeshev, Mikes, Vayigash, Vayechi. You hear a lot about them. Avram lived 175 years. He gets three parshios. Yaakov lives 147 years. Okay, he gets six. Yitzchak lives longer than everyone, 180 years, and he gets one parsha. Not fair. So what's there to learn from Yitzchak? What's the message that we see in this week's parsha, which is about Yitzchak? So that's really, should be our focus for this week, and how do we take it in our own lives? In Shemona Esrei, the first three brachos of Shemona Esrei, the Rashba writes in a tshuva, in Chelak Hesim and Kuf Tes Vav, he writes that the first three brachos represent the three avos. The first bracha, of course, Magen Avraham, that's Keneged Avraham. The second bracha, Ata Gibor, is Yitzchak. We end off Mechayei HaMesim. According to many Rishonim, Yitzchak actually died at Akedas Yitzchak. And there was a resurrection, there was a Tchias HaMesim. That's why some Mefarshim say that when Rivka saw Yitzchak, she fell off her camel. So the question Rishonim asked, well, why did she fall off? So some Rishonim say, the Riva, one of the Bali Atosos, says because she saw Yitzchak standing on his head. She was upside down. Because he had just come out of Gan Eden, and in Gan Eden, people stand on their heads. That's for another time. Remind me. Okay? But he was standing on his head because he just came out of Gan Eden and she was blown away. She fell off. So Mechayei Mesim, that's the bracha of Yitzchak. And the bracha of Akel HaKadosh, talking about the holiness of Hashem, that represents Yaakov. The bracha of Ata Gibor, you are a Gibor, you're strong. That represents, the second bracha, like we said, it represents Yitzchak. Yitzchak has the midah, the character trait of gvura, of strength. And we see that it trickled down into his children. Yitzchak's child, Esav, was a strong person. He murdered people, he kidnapped people, he had strength. Ata Gibor. Question is, if you go through the Parsha, Yitzchak doesn't seem to be such a strong person. On the contrary, he seems to be weak. What do we find? We find, for example, there are many examples, and as you go through the Parsha this week, look into this, you'll see. It comes up left and right. But one clear example. We don't find, by the way, Avram fought wars with the four kings. Yaakov fought wars through Shimon and Levi when Dina was abducted and they fought against Shechem. Yitzchak, no wars. Okay. We find something else also. The wells. There's a story about the wells in this week's Parsha. What happens? The Pasuk says, in Perech Havav, Pasuk Yates, it says, Vayachparu avdei Yitzchak benachal, the servants of Yitzchak dug the wells, Vayarivu roe gram roe Yitzchak. And the shepherds, they started fighting with the shepherds of Yitzchak. It's our water. So they walked away. They went to another place. Vayachbu beracheres. They dug another well. Over there, Vayarivu gamalea. They fought as well over there. Vayatek misham. They left there. Vayachbor beracheres. They dug a third well. There was no fighting. And they called it Rechovos, because it was Rachav, it was wide, it was widespread, there was no fighting. As opposed to, let's turn back to the previous parshios, what happened when Avraham met up with Avimelech? The Pasuk says, again by the wells, the Pasuk says that he complained. Avram went ahead, the Pasuk says, Perchaf Aleph, Pasuk Chaf Hei, V'hochiach Avram is Avimelech. He rebuked him, Alodos Beramai Mishir, Gozlu Avdei Avimelech. Your servants stole my wells. What's going on here? Avimelech says, Lo Yadatu, I didn't know who did this. And you didn't tell me, oi, oi, oi. And Avram fought back. Avram fought back. Yitzchak, the people fought. He walked away. Went to another place. Oh, they fought there? Okay. Went to another place. Hey, it seems like pretty weak to me. Not only that, but after the third place where there was no fighting, the next pasuk says, "Vayal misham Be'er Sheva." He didn't stay in Rehovot too long. He left right away. He went to Be'er Sheva. The Rashbam says, why did he leave? Because he was scared that they'd start fighting with him over there. So every opportunity he has with the people that are causing little problems, he goes away. While Avimelech, when he caused issues with Avram, Avram said, hey, these are mine. What are you doing? Don't touch my wells. So on some level, this Gibor, Ata Gibor, Yitzchak, doesn't seem like such a Gibor to me. So what's the deal? See here, we actually learn a very, very, very important lesson. It's true that Gvura means strength. But that is not the strength that we refer to when we speak about Yitzchak. Other titles related to Gvura for Yitzchak is Pachad, fear, Yira, also fear. How does that fit in with Gvura, strength? So we know in Pirkei Avos it says in the beginning of the fourth parak, Ezuhu Gibor Akovish Yitzro. What's a Gibor? Not someone that beats someone else up. A Gibor is someone who is able to fight his evil inclination. He's able to hold back from things that are inappropriate, things that he might desire to do. Yitzchak displayed the strength of an inner Gvura. An inner Gvura, an inner strength to be able to hold back when I want to say that thing. I want to fight right now. I want to yell at that person. I want to make fun of that person. I want to run to that area that's I shouldn't be at. It requires an incredible amount of strength to hold back. He was able to restrain himself, show self-control. That's the Yira, the character strength, the inner strength which we're referring to of Yira and Pachad. He holds himself back because he's afraid of a negative outcome, of doing something inappropriate. He appreciates the din, the judgment. He appreciates the consequences. And even though he wants to do this right now, he says, it's not right. This isn't the right thing. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to hold myself back. There's a fear of transgression, of sin. And he says, I'm not going to go ahead and do it. I'm going to hold myself back. In fact, I remember when I heard this, I was actually blown away. Rav Huttner writes a very interesting idea. We know Ahava means love, Yira means fear. The Ramban writes that Ahava, love, is represented by the positive commandments, the mitzvot saseh. While Yira, fear, finds itself in the lo taseh, the negative commandments. That's what the Ramban says. You love Hashem, so do positive. You're scared of Hashem. Oh, you're not going to do the Avera, right? But if you think about it for 1 second, it makes absolutely no sense. This is what Rav Huttner asks. He says, what? If you love someone, you won't hold back from doing an Avera? Or if you're scared of someone, you're not going to go ahead and give that, I'm scared of that king. What, I'm not going to give him money? I'm not going to do something positive for someone that I'm scared of? Why is it true that Ahava, love, gets grouped with positive commandments, and Yira gets grouped with negative commandments? They could be switched easily. So Rav Huttner writes as follows. He says, Ahava does not mean just to love. Ahava means to expand, to let out, to give. Many people quote from Rav Dessler that the word Ahava has the root in it of hav, which means to give. And he explains that by giving, it creates love. But Huttner's saying something much deeper than that. It's not that giving creates love. Giving is love. When you give, when you expand out, that is the definition of ahava. Yira means to hold back and to restrain. Those are the definitions of the word. And therefore, when it comes to positive commandments, that reflects ahava, giving, because you're doing something. You're proactive. Yira means to hold back. That fits with the negative commandments where you restrain, you refrain from doing something you're not supposed to do. And that was the gevura of Yitzchak. The gevura of Yitzchak was that, okay, look, I could fight these people, but you know what? It's not worth it. I'm just going to go to a different place right now. I'm going to move over. You know what? I'm afraid that there might be some problems over here. They might start fighting up again. You know what? I'm just going to leave again. I'm going to move away. I'm going to pick up and I'm going to move. How many of us would do that? No, this is my house and this is where I live and my neighbor is causing, let's fight. Let's protest. Right? This is the culture nowadays. You just fight and fight and fight. Sometimes fighting is important, but sometimes, most of the time actually, it's not worth it. You're not going to get anywhere. And it's really just your inner feelings of, I just want to do this, that's driving you to do those things. But the real gvura would be, you know what? I'm just going to be quiet. I'm going to swallow this one and move over and stay away. That's the real gibor. And that's what Yitzchak was doing. As you go through the parasha, you're going to see some, look at the dates of what's going on with his son Esav. Esav was living in his house with wives that were doing avodah zarah, and because of the smoke of their sacrifices, he went blind. Now, what did Avram do when there was a problem with the kid in his house? Move him out. Yitzchak just let it go. Gvura. You know how much gvura that took? To let his kid stay there? That was the midah of Yitzchak. He was able to hold back. Again, he obviously thought it was the right thing to do, but he wasn't blind to the fact that Esav was problematic. He held Esav in there. He held back for maybe what he wanted to do, but because he knew that that was right. Gvura is a very difficult midah. But first, we have to understand what it is. It's not just be strong and go work out in the gym and I'm a gibor. No, that's actually doesn't show you too strong at all. That doesn't mean anything. Real gvura is an inner gvura. Holding back when you have a desire to do something which isn't necessarily the right thing to do, isn't going to be productive, isn't going to get you anywhere, and you hold back. It's very interesting that the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, the ones who wrote our Siddur, why were they called the Anshei Knesset HaGedola? Unfortunately, many people can't answer this question. They can't answer where they lived, they can't answer who they were, but yeah, they lived during the 70 years of the exile between the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash towards the end, and they lasted into the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash. Ezra was from the starters of the Anshei Knesset HaGedola. They had Nevi'im in there, people who weren't Nevi'im because prophecy ended. We're talking about big people that were Anshei Knesset HaGedola. They set the Siddur up. Why were they called the Anshei Knesset HaGedola? How did they get that name? So the Gemara says in Maseches Yuma, and Daf Samach Tesamid Bey, 69b. The Gemara asks this question, Amar Bishu Ben Levi, Lama Nikoshman Anshei Knesset HaGedola, Shehechziru Atara LeYoshna. They put the crown back on Hashem's head. Well, what happened? So the Gemara says that Yirmiyahu, Moshe Rabbeinu, in the Torah, in Sefer Dvarim, Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud Zayin, calls Hashem, Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, VeHanora. Those words that we say in our Shemone Esrei are from Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, what happened? Yirmiyahu, who prophesied at the end of the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, he saw that the Babylonians entering into the Beis HaMikdash, destroying everything, and he said, I'm not saying Nora anymore. Where's the awesomeness of Hashem right now? I don't see it. Hashem, you're not being Nora. Just letting the enemies just walk right in here and destroy the whole place. Yirmiyahu stopped saying Nora. Daniel, who prophesied during the 70 years in between the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash, he knocked out Gibor. You can't say Gibor. He said, what? The other nations are totally trampling over the Jewish people? You're just letting that happen? Where's your Gibor now, Hashem? Why aren't you fighting for your people? So he stopped. And the Anshei Knesset HaGedola came back and added it in. They said, on the contrary, this is a magnificent display of strength, of Gvura. Because Hashem holds back His will and shows Erech Apayim. He holds back from punishing those who went ahead and are causing difficulties for His children, Jewish people. He doesn't punish them, even though they maybe deserve it. He holds back. A twist. Daniel said, where's the Gevura? Why aren't you fighting? Why aren't you destroying the enemies? And the Anshei Knesset Gedolah came back and said, no, Hashem is holding back His wrath, Erech Apayim, something that we all benefit from all the time. The mid of Hashem, that Hashem doesn't just, oh, you did something wrong, poof, right? So holds back. That's Gevura. You deserve this, but Erech Apayim, I'm going to hold back. And they started saying Gibor. In Shmona Esrei, when we say Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vehanora, the Sfarim tell us those three, Gadol, represents Avram Avinu and Chesed and Gedula. It's not for now. Gibor represents Yitzchak Avinu and Nora represents Yaakov Avinu. When we say those words in Shmona Esrei, when we talk about Hashem being Gibor, we're not supposed to imagine God like on this chariot with like a machine gun, you know, like wiping people out. I know that's what we think. Okay, guys, that's not what we're supposed to be thinking. Hakel HaGadol HaGibor means that Hashem holds back. He refrains. He uses a strength to hold back. It's an inner strength. The inner strength of Yitzchak that we refer to. And of course, that's what we want to be like. And that's what we're supposed to be thinking about. When we say Elokei Yitzchak, we're supposed to be thinking about the Elokei, the God that came through and was displayed through Yitzchak. Yitzchak showed this midah of Hashem, that Hashem is a gibor. Hashem holds back, if that's the right thing to do. And Yitzchak did the same. And we should also do the same. Now, there's a disclaimer here, very important. Sometimes when a person holds back too much, he goes ahead and there's like a lot of self-introspection. This is what's right. This is what's, I'm gonna hold back. And they start to actually think so much about themselves that they forget about other people. They can't, right? The chesed is about caring about the other person. And gibor, I'm gonna hold back. I'm gonna like coil up into my corner and I'm just gonna refrain from everything. And it's all about me in a little bubble. So that's very dangerous. Because if you do it like that, if you become so self-centered, then you can't appreciate other people and murder happens. Because why shouldn't I kill that guy? Right? It's almost like the flip happens. It goes around in a circle. You lose the erech. You lose the value of other people because you become so focused internally that you don't care about other people. And that's where Esav messed up. Where the chain went down from Yitzchak to Esav and Yaakov, the bad of Gevura went to Esav. He murdered. Esav maybe had the Gevura of thinking about only about himself, not caring about other people. He lost that chesed part that existed from before. It was only Gevura, and he didn't care about other people, and he ended up killing other people. So we have to realize, we want to be introspective. And we want to always think, do I really need to do this? I'm not really need to do this, etc. And we have to be very, very real with ourselves. And we have to fight ourselves. We have to fight ourselves sometimes. We want to shoot out. We want to yell at the person. We want to ignore the person. We want to this. We want to that. And we have to, is that really the way we're supposed to act? That requires a lot of self-introspection. It requires a lot of din, judgment, knowing what's right and what's wrong. We have to believe in that. But we can't let it get to a place that we become so self-centered that all of a sudden everyone else and everything else is going on in our lot in the world is totally disconnected from us. So we should try to see how we can add this into our lives. This is very, very, very hard. It's much, much easier to work out in the gym. Much easier. This is like the real stuff. To know when to say something, when not to say something. When to protest, when not to protest. When to tell on someone, when not to tell on someone. This is hardcore stuff and only gets harder throughout our lives. And the more relationships that we have with people and the deeper our relationships get with people, the person has to, I always get this question when people are having challenges in a marriage, in a relationship. So they say, well, when do I tell my wife this? Guess what? Maybe you don't have to tell your wife this. Don't say anything. But she did that. How could I not tell her? Very simply, you just don't. And you'll be just fine. You'll see. Nothing will happen. And if it's really an issue and you really have to work it out, okay. But not every little thing that happens, you have to bring it up and you have to learn how to criticize. And what's the best way to... You don't need that. It's not true. You could be a gibor. And you could be a happy gibor. Don't think it's because I'm holding it back and I'm going to be sad. No, that's an amazing midah. It's the midah of Hashem. Hashem acts, Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor. When we think about Hashem now, in our Shemona Esrei, tonight at Maariv, everyone should think, Hagibor. What's that Hashem's a Gibor? Is that he's not bringing out the punishment. He's not. That's what the Anshei Knesset Gedolah put in. Daniel said, can't put Gibor in. The enemies are sitting there taking us over. Why aren't you fighting? And the Anshei Knesset Gedolah said, that's not what Gibor means. Gibor means holding back the wrath, holding back the punishment. That's our praise. That is who Yitzchak Avinu was. He could have fought them, but he said, you know, I'm not going to. He could have chucked Esav out. It would have been easier, but that's not the right thing to do. I'm going to hold back my disappointment. I'm going to hold back my ill feelings, and I'm going to live in a happy way. So we should all be zocha to become the true giborim of Klal Yisrael and be able to manifest a Kadosh Baruch Hu's gvura in all of our actions, throughout our relationships, and all our interactions with everyone in this world. Shabbat.